Another great thing I love about the New Forest Folk Festival is that Keith and Nick are not afraid of championing new talent. And this person's no exception to that rule. The lovely Katie Spencer took to the stage on the Saturday 12:55 with a really spellbinding set of just her and her guitar and some beautifully crafted songs that she'd written. Raised in the East Yorkshire flatlands and on the fringes of Hull, Kate's spectrum for songwriting is wide. I really enjoyed the set and I was quite taken in by it, so I wanted to talk to her, so I caught up with her after her performance, and this is what we had to say. Hi, and welcome to another audio interview from the New Forest Folk Festival. And we're sitting in a lovely artist's garden. Although, I must say, we've gone around the corner because the wind's been ripping up and we've had some really heavy showers here, but it hasn't deterred us from having a lovely time. And one of the people who played today on a Saturday afternoon absolutely drew us all in and mesmerised us and made us forget all about the weather. And that's Katie Spencer, and here she is. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much. Yeah, I'm great. That was really nice. I've had a great few days here. It's very friendly and, yeah, the sunshine is out, finally.
I know, when you came on, the sun came out, so that's got to be a good omen, isn't it?
I was willing it. I've been willing it for the last few days.
Yeah, it was a lovely set, a beautiful set, and I was just saying that our founder of Folking.com, Darren Beach, bless him, rest his soul, he would have loved you. He would have been leaning back in his chair with his eyes closed. And it was quite strange, because as he was playing some of your songs today, which are all beautiful, by the way, very beautifully written, I just had this vision of Darren rolling back on his chair with his eyes closed, listening to you, and that's the sort of effect you had. You mesmerised them out there today.
Thank you, that's really kind. I really enjoy that feeling of that collectiveness, you know, they're coming together and sharing stories and songs, and that's what it's all about for me, you know, kind of bringing people into the music and experiencing that together is really special. It's kind of the main thing that, you know, drives me and keeps me going on the road. It's so nice.
It is a kind of like a communication thing, isn't it? If you can
Absolutely.
Know people are listening to your songs and enjoying them, it gives you such a great feeling, doesn't it?
Totally, yeah. It's a really special and very kind of intangible thing, but very physical at the same time in a strange way. You know, it's that kind of it's just a real privilege to be able to open up conversations and emotions that perhaps people need to express, or, you know, and I feel very lucky that I can sometimes enable that and facilitate that to happen, you know.
Yeah, it was a lovely set, and I especially liked the fact that we had a Hull connection there, because obviously you're from Hull, and it's not a thing you often get, is it? Songs from and stories from Hull. It's usually like fishing ships.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've got to be out there flying the flag for Hull, because not many other people are. It gets a lot of bad press, but it's the place where I grew up, and I don't live there anymore, but I think sometimes when you go away from a place, you can kind of view it with a bit more clarity, you know? Yeah, I've been able to do that and kind of capture the place in these songs, and it's amazing going around the country how many people have a connection to that landscape and the people there. And especially, you know, I talk a lot about that kind of connection with the water that people have up there, because you've got the River Humber, of course, and the North Sea, and just going around the country and playing in areas where there's, you know, a majestic river or you know, by the sea or whatever, it's a very universal kind of thing, which is lovely.
Yeah, because rivers are an endless source of inspiration in a way, aren't they? You know, I come from the Medway towns, of the River Medway running through it, and just up the road, or the Gravesend, obviously, with the Thames ripping through Gravesend and Greenhithe and that sort of area. And I play in a band called Shanaki. We're a sort of folk rock group, and my mandolin player said to me, "Oh, I've got a sick gig on an iron pier. The Gravesend Iron Pier." He said, "It's the oldest pier in the UK, an iron pier. And at the bottom of the pier, there's a brewery. It's called the Iron Pier Brewery." Giving them lots of plugs. But I said, "Oh, great, we'll do that, you know, Saturday night. We've got it." So we rehearsed on Friday and in Gravesend and with our drummer and things. And I said, "Well, Lee, let's go and have a look at the gig, you know." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I'll take you around there and see it." It was in the middle of an industrial estate. The double glazing company opposite.
That sounds,
what's this?
Classic.
I said, "Where's the river?" He said, "Well, it's Gravesend, isn't it? The river's always going through Gravesend. Yeah, but you sold me this on the fact that it was a beautiful pier jutting out, you know. And I ended up...
There's got to be some charm in there somewhere.
I was actually traumatised. So I was like, well, oh, my God, we're playing in an industrial estate. But mind you, it was great, and they were great, and the beer was great. Mm. And the artist, Duncan Grant, who does all the tips, was lovely. So these things with rivers, I was thinking about rivers. So many people write songs about rivers, don't they?
Yeah.
I think, because, you know, if you sit by a river, you know, you get inspired, don't you?
I think, you know, everyone is different as well, and they all have zones within themselves where, you know, the Humber is just... fascinating, and the history that you can, it's almost palpable, you know, when you're there, and it really draws me in and think it's just a universal thing, and I love the idea of lost rivers and all of that kind of thing, and tracking the source of the rivers and then seeing where it ends, and you know, you can get a lot from those ideas, I think.
And you are one of the people that are kind of like, you travel around extensively, don't you? And on your own. But you also, your album's got, you play with a band, don't you?
Yeah, I really love travelling around. And as I was saying earlier, sort of meeting people I wouldn't meet otherwise and visiting places. You know, I was just up on the Mull of Kintyre last week, you know, and that's, you know, what a privilege to be able to go up there. And it's really special just making connections with people and having that opportunity and you know, the songs sort of facilitate that. But yeah, so I spend a lot of my time on the road on my own, but occasionally...
Oh, it sounds very sad.
It's great.
I'm going to cry in a minute.
It's great.
It's terrible. You know, I've got your album here, which I'm going to do an album review on. You've got a band, your band plays on this, doesn't it? It's called The Edge of the Land. I'm going to do a little album review for you on that on manofoking.com because I haven't heard it. So I can't talk about it now. But tell me about it, just whilst we're here.
Well, this is my second album, and I set about recording it in the same way as I did my first one, which was to lay down my guitar and my vocals and then layer it from there. But then... I got halfway through that process with the second album and I thought, this hasn't got the energy that I want in there. So we scrapped the whole thing, you know, several hundreds of pounds and a lot of time later. But it was the best decision I ever made, I think. We ended up recording it over 2 days, just live in the studio with a trio and the energy and you know, we would never have got that otherwise. So I'm really glad we took that move, and then a few other days adding overdubs and things. But it was a real special experience, quite intense, you know.
Yeah, isn't it strange? I mean, I've got a little studio at home. Mm. I'm building in a separate building. And I quite often go in there and I can record stuff, write stuff, and I can layer stuff. And I've got software that can... It's the BBC Symphony Orchestra, mm-hmm. with cellos. Yeah. I've got a 1,000 drum kits in there and graphics. And it's great fun to sort of sit there and do that. But I find it strange that whenever we do an album, my band, like yourself, we do it live almost. So we set up, we play live, we separate things, we play through whatever we're doing, like almost like a set.
Like
a gig, you get that vibing off of each other a little bit more than sort of sitting there, oh, it's your turn, in you go.
Very much in my head when I approach it that way. And I think when you play with other people, there's a natural energy that exists and you kind of fluctuate with each other and like take in places that perhaps you wouldn't go to otherwise. And yeah, you're right, you know, think especially when you... You know, I do a lot of gigs and a lot of people want to take something away that sounds like what they've just listened to, you know.
Yes.
And it's about trying to capture that. But I also enjoy the fact that recording is a very different process to playing live, and I like leaning into that a little bit as well. So it's just getting a balance, really, of that live feeling with, you know, additional things that you wouldn't perhaps be able to do.
Yeah, because the danger is, I've done it myself, you can get in and you can just layer and layer and layer.
Yeah.
And then when you play live, you go, well, you're never going to be able to do that live.
Absolutely.
There's 15 cellos in there. You're not going to get cellos on the stage. So you've got to be a bit careful, haven't
you? There's a balance to strike, for sure,
But I loved what you did today, and it was almost like, in its purest form, like you would envisage a person doing this sort of genre of music, touring around. small clubs, like you mentioned, the smallest theatre, playing to one man and a dog.
But
what I liked about it is, you know, I could imagine you playing to one man and a dog, and I could be sitting there and it'd be three people. I'd still enjoy what you was doing. But what I did notice today is that the whole audience was there. So you must have a few more thousand people who love you today, I've got to say that.
Oh, thanks, Paul. That's really good.
It was terrific. And you're fairly new. They say you're new, but you've got quite a lot of experience. You play with quite some people that have played with a lot of other quite inspirational people, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to. Yeah, I mean, last night here at the festival, it was a joy to see Spencer Cousins and Alan Thompson playing with Jackie McSheen. They're two of my heroes, really. Yeah. And Spencer produced both my albums, and it's wonderful to be able to play alongside them. You know, it's those folks who I've been listening to since I was, 14. And then,
well, last year.
I wish.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. I really enjoyed your set, and I'm going to go and review that album now, so do keep an eye out. And what I'll do is I'll message and tell you when it's up and you can have a look. I'm going to try and get someone to take a picture of us now. But thanks for talking to us. You're here for the rest of the weekend?
I am, yeah. Thanks so much for talking.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, Katie Spencer.
Cheers.
Thank you. Bye now. Bye. The delightful Katie Spencer there. Next, we're talking to Katrina Gilmore and Jamie Roberts.